And we are back on the KYMN Morning Show. Joining us now in our studios is Northfield's City Administrator, Ben Martin. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
You had a meeting last night. It was a work session, actually, not technically a meeting, but you did gather last evening and talked about a couple of things. First of all, the capital improvement plan, pedestrian and bikeway recommendations were discussed last night. Tell us kind of the scope of this and what did you focus on last evening?
Yeah, so we have we brought forward some additional analysis related to our street planning, I guess, capital planning, but also includes things like trails, and the pedestrian components really is an area of focus. So biking, walking, and then having safe corridors to do that, safe facilities to do that, and how do we better plan for those types of things, kind of come up with some consistent goals and guidelines with it. So we brought in a consulting company to take a look at that in conjunction with our capital planning. So they did, Alta is the planning company that we worked with. They basically are taking a look at things like where are our destinations for people kind of coming and going, and then also what are our city plans look like, and then what are our capital planning, and then doing some planning around that. So I think one of the main takeaways is they said it's really important to have a comprehensive network that has some consistency from one area to the other, so that as you're biking in particular, that it's predictable, people are kind of familiar with how they operate, and then they link together better kind of throughout the community. Kind of like collector streets connect together well and have similar designs from a road standpoint. One of the biggest things they talked about was really for experts who can be comfortable more riding in traffic is a pretty small segment of the population. So really what we're trying to do is to build a system of networks for sidewalks, trails, and biking that really allows all ages and abilities as it relates to crossings as well as the design. And one of the main things you can do is to simply separate vehicles from the bikeways so that there's either a physical barrier of some kind, like a curb, or you have it raised where it's off of the actual street grade. And that's where you're going to see the vast majority of people being comfortable to bike and feel comfortable in that type of environment. So to do that, there's basically recommending, for the most part, the primary design recommendations that they've got is based on the widths of our current streets that we have, is a two-way protected bikeway. So similar to where we've had these cycle tracks where you can go two ways, but basically adding a curb in with that. Reasonably inexpensive, I guess, to build those in. They actually have a curb product that kind of is cut out and then laid in. Kind of, they explained it. It's like kind of like Play-Doh being laid out. So you can probably get a lot more projects added in on basically if you're doing a mill and overlay. That's kind of the recommendation at that point because it's cheaper than tearing the curb out.
What areas of town are we looking at here? Is this all over everywhere, or is this just one avenue for bicyclists to get from point one side of town to the other?
Yeah, to get through the community as a whole. So there were seven major corridors identified basically through the city where, kind of like if you have a major collector for a roadway, those would be similar types of areas where those would go in. So it would be Heritage Drive, Adams Drive, Roosevelt Drive, Lincoln Parkway, Lincoln Street over on Greenville, Armstrong Road, kind of in the industrial area, Washington Street, A Street, Prairie Street, Maple. So again, areas kind of cutting through the community and being connector points. Once you get into the neighborhoods and that type of a thing, then the lower traffic volumes of lower speeds don't demand that type of infrastructure. But as it relates to having kind of those major roadways where maybe the speeds are a little higher and things, it's really trying to find a way to protect bicyclists so they can be safe riding in those types of environment. The ideal situation is, again, you'd raise it, have it separated from the traffic. So imagine like if you had a parking lane or something, extending the curb into that parking area, raising it up, and then you'd have a sidewalk separated by bike lane facilities in these corridors. That's really the ideal, but you typically do that when you're doing a major full reconstruction of the street, which doesn't happen very often. So the incremental approach is laying some curb in, or in the worst case scenario, I guess at least doing painting. But we do know that the paint really doesn't make people comfortable. The separation with some physical barrier is really where that's achieved.
Northfield's City Administrator Ben Martig is joining us. Is there something coming up? I mean, is this going to go into action? Is this plan going to go into action soon? Is there anything coming up on the subsequent council meetings?
Yeah, first of all, we're going to the Planning Commission later this week. They've had a lot of interest in this area. We also are planning to have some public informational meetings in September. We don't have the details yet, but getting some feedback from the public. So again, this is going to be impacting people across the city. So hopefully we'll get some interest from people and then to attend those. And then later this year, hopefully in the October time period, the council would be approving some of the report details and starting to implement some of the design plans so that when we are doing our capital planning, we can integrate this in. You know, another one that we really didn't get into in great detail from a design standpoint, but we did there was also identified major intersection concerns throughout where there are big crossings, because that's probably one of the most dangerous types of situations is when there are intersections and having good safe control. So it could include things like having bump outs at identified locations to shorten the crossing distance for pedestrians. That also increases visibility for vehicles and also does some traffic calming, so slowing down some of the speeds. So that was something discussed. There is the ability, if we didn't really get into that policy discussion, but the state law does now allow a 25-mile-per-hour citywide speed limit to be put into effect, where currently it's 30 under state law. But if you sign the entrances to your city, you can reduce those speeds. But one of the things that we know, too, is that design of the roadway is probably the most effective to impact speeds, not enforcement, and not just by putting up lower speed limits. In fact, where you can get dangerous situations is where you have significantly different speeds happening for vehicles.
Okay, we'll continue this conversation sometime in the future. We've got to move on because you had much of the night last night was a budget work session. You're getting starting to mold what the budget looks like for 2023-24 sessions. What was discussed last night? Are you getting kind of whittled down?
Yeah, we're kind of looking big picture, but we are also trying to incrementally approach the budget, which I think is a wise strategy, because then the more difficult policy discussions and impacts can kind of be narrowed in as we go. So last night there was no action as a work session, but I think we got consensus on all of our utility rates for the 2023. Currently the average user pays about $90 per month, and that's for drinking water, sewer treatment and collection, garbage, refuse removal, and then stormwater management. So that total of all those together is about $90, a little over $90 per month. The city council, the biggest one that we know that we're looking at some pretty major changes in the rates would be our water fund, because we're looking at a $30 million plus water treatment plant that we'd be adding. Unfortunately, that's the common for communities our size to have that type of a water treatment plant. So we're probably about half the rates currently from what most communities similar to Northfield would be paying. But you get used to paying a bill, and that's kind of where you're at. And so the increases never look good with that. But we are trying to get federal grants. So we've applied for five, I think. And right now we're down to one potentially that's still active. But as much as 75 or 100% potentially funded by the feds, we'll see. We'll keep working. And there's been some new federal legislation. Maybe we can go after more. But
let's get that 100% on site.
It's for, you know, basically the reason we need to do it's primarily related to that we have safe drinking water for all. And we have some manganese issues right now. And again, we've talked about that, is use bottling water or treated water if for young, very young infants and mothers that are pregnant. If you have questions on that, you can go to our website, but that would take care of that. The treatment plant also then would, as we look at future regulations that might come down the road, that would have the plant and the capacity to fairly easily ramp up and do additional treatments. And then there's some softening benefits too, where you'll be able to get softened water where you might not even need to have a water softener in some cases, depending on how much you like the hardness or soft water. But we're looking at an increase just on the water of about $4 per month, and that's the primary change to kind of start to ramp up for preparing for that. That's about a 15% increase on the water rate. We did talk about going as high as 28, but the council said let's start at 15 and see where the grants might come in at. So basically going from $90 a month to about $95 a month total as it relates to all of those utility bills. So that was probably the biggest one that was probably pretty well going to be set here in September, and we'll be done with that component of the budget.
All right. So what's next on the budget schedule? Will you be, you'll have to pare it down pretty soon, and you'll have to, in September, you'll have to get that preliminary levy in place. So where are we at? What's the schedule between now and that point?
Yeah, so we did take a look at our Economic Development Authority and our Housing Authority, certainly trying to grow our tax base as we have financial needs too. So if we can have a little more people to help pay the bills with some new industry. And then we have significant housing needs. So the city council did give their blessing to the preliminary budget in levy related to those. We've typically gone to the statutory maximum on those, which is a few hundred thousand that we can look at for those operations. September's meeting will be really honing in on the general funds. We knocked off a few other things last night. We approved, tentatively reviewed over $1 million in federal ARPA funds to go out for housing, for economic recovery, for some ongoing city needs, some of the things that were going to be in the budget. So we'll be able to hopefully reduce the cost to the taxpayers on some of our property tax levy because of some of those authorizations. So that's a pretty big one that we're going to redo some of our numbers now that we have clarity on how some of those were used, which will really set us in good shape for the September 13th budget meeting, because we'll need to be setting preliminary levies at the end of September, and we hope that that it's pretty close to what we think a final levy might be for this year.
Ben, thank you so much for coming in. We certainly appreciate it. Is there anything else you'd like to mention while we have you here?
I don't think so. Appreciate the time.
All right. Ben Martig, North